Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Good evening. This is Nicole from Rome Investigators of the Paranormal.
That was really awkward.
We've only been sitting here for 10 minutes preparing for this. And then it starts, we're like, you go first. No, you go first.
It's the first time we've ever heard that opening before or something. We're just like, ooh.
And my mic keeps going down.
And this is recorded so we can play it over and over and over again.
That was strange.
You're just lucky I can't because the computer doesn't work anymore. So we have to have Don play it for us, or Don.
Thank you, Don.
Yeah, you guys got an arm extension problem there. It keeps lowering.
I think I have it under control now.
I think many men over 40 have that kind of problem.
Extend. I'm Peter Leonard.
I'm Kevin Jordan.
I'm Maeve Jordan.
I'm Nicole Beretta.
And I'm Rich Jordan. Oh, wait, that's weird.
We're just Philip Jordan tonight.
Yeah, we just got married.
Yeah, me too.
I'm so excited about it.
It does fit in the definition of paranormal. Anything that goes beyond the normal range of explanation. If you have something that's beyond the range of normal explanation, the phone lines are now open in the United States and Canada. 1-888-429-5471. Tonight's broadcast, as always, is brought to you by the fabulous, wonderful people at BBS Radio. Thank you, guys. Again, 1-888-429-5471. Larry, if you're listening, you can call us in. 1-888-429-5471.
So do you think anyone in Canada actually listens to the show?
Hey?
I think so. I want to believe they do.
You want to believe they do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they do. Maybe some people are gun-shy. They don't want to talk live.
It's radio. No one can see you.
I'd be afraid to talk to us, too. Got three Jordans and Pete and Nicole.
Yeah.
A whole yard of Jordan. Well, anyway, we won't take the spotlight away from Nicole. She's got a story topic tonight that's going to knock your shish kebab off the grill.
I've been excited about this. I actually, when I emailed you guys earlier, I was all excited. I found an article I was reading on about, we all hear all the time, Elvis is still alive, Tupac's still alive. This article, Elvis still alive and spotted at Graceland. That's
and Lincoln's still alive.
I bet you.
Where's at IHOP?
So basically they're saying there's a groundskeeper at Graceland and they're saying it's him. That's basically it.
Is that him right there?
I guess. So they're saying that's Elvis.
Thank you very much.
So
hold that alone.
And they got a shot of his face and they compared it to Elvis. I mean, it looks pretty similar. But who's to know?
That looks like a big, kind of heavy, white bearded baseball cap dude.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just... I mean, how old would Elvis be now? In his 80s, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, I think that guy's a little bit younger than 80.
I would think so.
But I don't know.
You know, 80 is the new 50, right?
I guess.
Or is that 50 is the new 80?
It says, June 1st, a man was sporting a white beard and ponytail appears to be working at Graceland, but as he walks toward the camera, it said his facial features are very strongly compared to Elvis's, and they look kind of like him, so...
It's more like David Bowie.
Well, there is a car in Rome that drives away, one of those big boats, has the license plate Elvis 1, and I've seen the person who gets out of it sort of looks like Elvis. I don't know if you've seen him in Rome.
I was just in Vegas a few weeks ago, and I saw a lot of Elvises.
Yeah, probably quite a bit there.
I lost count about 16 down near the Golden Nugget.
I don't really see the big deal about Elvis. But...
I don't know. He was before my time.
I don't even know if kids even know who that is anymore.
I don't think so.
My music goes back to, like, Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, Jimi Hendrix, The Doors. That's about as far back as I go. That's kind of like, you know, 1964 and closer.
I go back another century, 1864.
Yeah, I missed it all. I mean, I was born at the end of the hairband era, so...
You missed a good time.
Yeah, I did.
Good time.
Woke up just in time for the 90s pop and hip-hop music.
Ugh.
You didn't like going to the country?
Yeah.
I don't think I can eat peaches anymore because of that.
Wasn't the 80s. I mean, everyone was into music in the 80s. You know, miniskirts, high hair... High heels and concerts and girls, that was the thing, and hair bands. That was the 80s. Then in the 90s, everybody's like, we don't have to shower. And they started,
what's that about?
How could you keep listening to music when you got Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Am I the only survivor of Woodstock 99 here? I guess I am.
I remember Rock what was going on forever. So it was... Yeah, it was a big hippie fest. Big hippie fest.
It's the greatest thing that ever happened to Rome, New York, and we screwed even that up.
Yeah.
I think it was actually noted by VH1 as the worst music blunder in the history of music.
Woodstock 99?
Yep. They did a 100, it was like 100 events or whatever, and they did a countdown, and Woodstock 99 was number one.
What do they attribute to the big blunder?
Everything from not enough toilets to overpriced bottled water to...
How much do you want for a bottle? Like $10 a bottle?
$6.
And then when it ended with everything being set on fire.
Everything was six or $10.
I was there for that. I saw that happen.
Did you light it?
No, but I was sitting next to the van that got overturned. Me and my dad went, and we were on his motorcycle, and we hauled out of there as soon as the van got overturned.
I thought maybe when those half-naked chicks that woke up in the middle of covered in mud and stuff. Whoa.
I was actually
that wasn't mud.
Yeah, there was no mud on that car, Matt.
I was at Darien Lake all weekend. We came back late Sunday night, and we went and saw Godsmack, Collective Soul, and then Red Hot Chili Peppers, and hauled out when we saw the fire start. So
I like Collective Soul. That's a good band.
Yeah, they're really good.
I was doing first aid and then trying to find my dad, who was a fireman on active duty. That didn't work out too well. I got in with the state police and then got out. But the Rome Fire Department put out a classic t-shirt. I don't know if you've ever seen them, Nicole.
Mm-mm.
It's like Woodstock 99, the surprise final act, the Rome Fire Department. It had all their names on the t-shirt with the burning row of tractor trailers in the back.
The state police actually put out a t-shirt, too. It was a state police officer with a shotgun on his leg, and he was stepping on one of the Grateful Dead bears.
Move and I'll kill you.
I did find, I cleaned the closet out a couple weeks ago, and I found a stack, probably 100 of them, of the posters that Brian must have weaseled away when that happened. So
the most interesting t-shirt I have is a friend of mine actually lives in Los Angeles. He's a magician. He does a lot of like birthday parties, some for kids and some for adults. He sent me a package one day, and I opened up this box, and it had these t-shirts. And you all know who Gene Simmons is, right?
Mm-hmm.
From Kiss. It said, "Happy 60th birthday, Gene Simmons." And it had a picture of him, his wife, his daughter and son, just their heads. Happy birthday. And it was a great t-shirt. And I said, "Where'd you get that?" He goes, "I did the birthday party." Those are t-shirts that were given out to just the guests that they made just for the birthday party. And he goes, "I snuck a couple out of the box that were in there. I sent them to you guys." So I told this guy who's a big Kiss fan about this. "I want to see that." So I showed him a picture. "I'll give you $100 for it." I go, $500. "Oh, I'm going to give you $500. I don't want to sell it then. I'll hold on to it. If it's worth $100 to you, then it's worth $200 to someone else, and it's worth $300 to someone else." So I held on to it. You'll never get these t-shirts anywhere else. This was just for his 60th birthday party. So I have it. So the first person out there who offers me $400 gets a Gene Simmons Happy 60th Birthday Party t-shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, Woodstock 99 official posters. Nicole has a stack of them, $50 each. Please contact us via Facebook. Rome Investigators of the Paranormal. $50 is a steal. Remember, that's almost 20 years ago. That's a long, long time ago, especially if you were there.
You know?
I know you didn't sneak it out in your pocket when the state police started pushing you and hitting you with sticks, so you knew out when you got get that now. And then we also got Gene Simmons's Simon Simmons' special teacher.
Simmons. You know, when he's dead, the price is going to double.
Get it while you can?
Absolutely.
Wasn't he at Scarecon a couple years ago?
No, it was Ace Frehley.
Yeah. You should probably have him sign the t-shirt.
They don't. None of those guys that kiss like each other. The only two that get along are Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons. They pretty much got rid of the other two guys.
So there you go. Rare. I can't even. You know who might buy that is the casino there in Vegas, Hard Rock.
Maybe.
They pay pretty good. I put together their Woodstock display for them.
Oh,
they paid me money, and I assembled a collection of stuff for it. Whether it's still on display, I have no idea. But
who cares? They paid you for it.
That's right.
You take it, throw it in the garbage if you want. As long as you pay me for it, assemble it.
I did pretty good with it. Pretty good with
it. I did not know that, Peter. I did not know you were a assembler of fine antiquities.
I am the paranormal archaeologist. It is my job to archaeological the fine things.
Archaeological.
Did you have anything to do with, I know this is not paranormal, but Applebee's. Remember when Applebee's went in and they had that hole when you walk in the board, the fire department picture of my grandfather in it?
No, but I wish I knew they threw all that stuff out.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, they threw out a lot of the stuff from our fire department in Utica as well.
The picture had my grandfather and my two uncles in it. And my great-uncle. I had four of my relatives in that picture, and they threw it out. So.
Well, I probably got the negative, so if you want one, let me know. I'll show you the desk. I'll just give you the desk.
Great.
Okay, so what are we going to talk about that's paranormal tonight?
Breaking new, the new movie featured on Horror Story this week is Dick Shark.
Dick Shark.
I can't make that up. Rich is looking at it right now.
Dick Shark. Oh, my God. It's a penis with... It looks like a shark with teeth biting a woman's lip.
The byline is, don't use your teeth.
Oh, my God. Is that like teeth?
It's directed by the gentleman who brought you Night on Elmo Street.
Nobody knows about that movie. Every time I bring it up, everyone's like, what is that?
Really?
Here's a different one, Rich.
They won't watch that with me, but
understandably.
That's the best.
I'm assuming it's a porno, but it's...
What, Dick Shark?
But it's on Horror Society? Yeah, if you start seeing the pictures that are attached with this.
Alright, let me see here. Whoa.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Did you see the tattoo? Did anybody see that?
It's a Dick Shark. That's what we are talking about, Dick Shark.
So check it out.
How many people here saw The Conjuring 2?
I have not.
We haven't yet.
Okay, let's talk about that then.
No.
No. We won't do that then.
No spoilers.
Damn it.
I did hear...
There's a ghost!
Go see a goddamn movie, would you?
I did see somebody post something. Now, I haven't seen a movie, but I don't know if it was Tammy Einich or one of the paranormal people that I'm friends with on Facebook. I'm not sure. About the movie, about how the Warrens weren't as involved in The Conjuring as what they portray them to be. How do you feel about that?
You asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking.
Oh.
Yeah. Because you know John.
When I wrote the movie... I mean,
I guess the English investigator was saying that the Warrens had nothing to do with that case.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to remember, it's a Hollywood perspective on everything, and it baseline, it's a horror movie. Okay? My thoughts on The Conjuring 2, without telling you any of the details of the movie, I thought it was very entertaining. It was very, very dark. Darker than the first one.
Really?
I think they portrayed that demon pretty damn scary. And I think if Dr. Dave almost peed his pants over the first one, he's probably going to really pee and crap himself over the second one. Because it was scary. You know, it was... I think, like, the horror movie stuff, when it comes to, like, people with knives and all that kind of stuff, the slasher films, has kind of gone away. But that, like, whole demon thing, I think still scares the crap out of people. The Exorcist is still a scary movie you go to bed and watch it. All I can think of is seeing her, like, at the end of the bed, spinning her head around. It's nasty.
The movies always come in, you know, droves, really. I mean, slasher films are really from the 70s until just before the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big time for slashers.
Then it was vampires, and then it was werewolves.
Thank God the vampire thing rage is over with. That was, I mean, there were some good vampire movies.
They
kind of
ruined the vampire rage. I mean, that wasn't even a vampire rage. That was more, you know, sparkles and twinkles.
I'm more a Blade vampire versus...
Yeah. I'm a Lost Boys vampire. You know,
Lost Boys is an excellent movie. Yeah, it was an excellent movie.
Vampires by John Carpenter.
That's my favorite vampire movie.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
And then it was
the first.
Up until...
Yep.
And I guess now it went from zombies...
30 Days a Night was pretty nasty, too.
Yeah.
You ever saw that? That was really good. What a great movie. I mean, they go to a place in Alaska where the sun goes down for 30 days. They travel around on a ship, And then they go into town, they get rid of all the cell phones, and they cut off the communication, and then they get to feast for 30 nights. You know? It's a great concept. It was a good movie.
Signs was a good alien one. There's not too many alien ones there.
I saw the one recently with John, the guy from Roseanne. What's his name? John Goodman.
Goodman.
Yes. The Clover Lane? 10 Clover Lane or something?
Wasn't that any good? Have you seen
it? Yeah.
You saw that movie?
Yeah.
How was it?
Weird. I watched it on the airplane. Weird. I just like.
Ugh. The first one was weird too.
Was that the sequel to the original Cloverfield?
Yeah.
That was supposed to have been out like 5 years ago. I did go see Independence Day.
And. Pretty good.
I went and seen Independence Day.
Not as good as the first.
The gentleman I went with, Tristan, we've been waiting for that for like months, and one of our favorite characters in the original was Robert Loggia. May he rest in peace. And then spoiler alert, there's just a random scene in there where they're having like this 20-year celebration, and Robert Loggia stands up, and we're like, holy crap! But they literally CGI'd an entire scene with Robert Loggia. I mean, the guy's been dead for what, 9-10 years now? Mm-hmm. It's like, wow. And they even had him speak. It was
really
like...
Weird. Talk about paranormal.
Spoiler alert, but...
Yeah,
it was a ghost, man.
It's a different generation. I'll give it to Thor's brother who saved the movie. His acting. What's it, Chris Helmsworth?
Chris Helmsworth.
He made it worth watching.
Isn't he in the new Ghostbusters movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I guess he's probably the only one who's going to save that movie, too.
You know, I've been... I'm always online looking for the newest, latest, and greatest... paranormal equipment for investigating, and we're going through this like rut where I haven't really seen anything come out in a while.
Let me show you something.
The Ghost Ark was the savior, going to be the savior for the paranormal, but I mean,
what a mess that turned
out.
Oh
god, the reviews on that and the complaints.
I've been dying for a proton pack.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff has just been terrible on this thing.
I was reading your post that you posted the other day, and I was kind of dived into it after I got out of work, and I kind of got lost in it because there were just so many negative reviews on it, and I was actually going to put money down on it. I'm so glad I didn't.
I know Ghost Outlet, which is a shop it's a web store that Chris Fleming runs. He was advertising it for a while, and then also it doesn't exist on his page. He must have had problems with him and dropped him. But... the only thing significant that I come across that I think is worth the money if you're a seasoned paranormal investigator, I think the EVP band that goes around your wrist is a pretty cool thing. I mean, you can plug it right into your computer with a mini USB, dump it. But just think about it. If you're walking around with a camera filming or holding equipment, you know, it's one less thing you have to hold in your hand. You have it right here. And as you're talking, usually your arm is usually about this far from your mouth. So if it's answering, one would think that you'd be able to pick up a nice, you know, clear response. That I thought was sort of cool. Instead of giving you one piece of equipment that does more, it's taking actually one piece of equipment away and just putting it on your wrist. You just have to hit the start and stop button.
For you bargain ghost hunters out there, just take your digital recorder and put a sweatband on it.
Actually, you know the workout ones I have for my iPod? That's actually a good idea. I could do that.
That would be pretty awesome. Space.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that is a pretty good idea.
There's the tribo.
I was going to say the poor man's audio recorder, but it's not because the iPod costs a lot more than this thing does.
Yeah.
But if you already have an iPod, like Kevin said, you can get it like one of those exercise bands. You strap around your arm. You see a lot of runners wear them and stick the iPod in there. I would try it. I don't know if that plastic sleeve, because mine goes into a pretty thick plastic sleeve. So I don't know if the microphone.
They have the ones that are all fabric. I mean, as long as you keep the area away from where the microphone is, or if you got like a razor blade or X-Acto blade, cut around it, make sure that it's free.
The other piece of equipment I looked at, which is just a rehash of a couple different pieces, is the EDM. The EDM is just a handheld device. It's about $99. I've seen it a little bit cheaper sometimes. It's a geophone or a footstep tracker where it senses the vibration. I think it's a built-in K2 and a built-in temperature gauge, all into one device. So again, I mean, if you're walking around with three different things, you can combine it into one. I don't actually have one of those footstep trackers. I just didn't know. I mean, with good investigation, say like 15 investigators, there's bound to be vibrations. especially the Halbert House on the third floor.
Oh, yeah.
You're walking down the end of the hall. Sometimes I can just feel the floor moving before you're even down the hall, then hear you. So I just don't really know what benefit. You have to be in like a completely still environment. You know, there's, you know, nothing's going on. So other than that, I haven't really found anything. I mean, while there is this one camera that they use on Ghost Adventures, that digital dowsing cells, it uses that, like, almost like an Xbox platform.
Oh, you see the, that? The Kinect.
Yeah, the Kinect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But all it shows is, like, little stick figures. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not really sold on that.
Hey, they found some, you know, evidence, I want to say, is what they showed, their findings, there you go, is the one scene where the actual stick figure just showed up and it was, like, walking in the room. And there was, like, nobody walking in the room. There was, like, one guy seated.
But how do you transfer that to something amazing when you show people? Ready? Prepare yourself. You're about to see something. It's a stick figure.
Yeah.
Across the screen, you're like, that's a ghost.
Yeah. Did you get the email from GhostStop about that new Rook EMF thing?
Did you? No. That? What is that?
I don't know.
We'll see. $64
I just got
bucks.
It yesterday. I just got the email yesterday. It's supposed to be EMF /
Looks like it's K2.
No.
Okay, here we go. Look, okay, it looks like a phaser. It's got an EMF sensor with lights visible around the unit, sound alert that varies with proximity to an EMF detector, highly sensitive EMF, quality detects 4 to 5, interference, false reading. And it's pretty much a newer version of a K2, pretty much. That's tripod mountable, too. Yeah. So, it's kind of an interesting thing. If I didn't have a K2, I probably wouldn't buy it. But to be honest with you, my MEL meter does pretty much all that. Just like a REM pod. Those REM pods are not cheap. You see how much they are? But the MEL meter's actually got a REM pod built into it. At least mine does, where you touch the antenna and the lights go off. It makes a siren. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, I just haven't seen...
See, I don't have a K2 myself personally. So it may be something worth investing in, since you guys have K2s and I don't. So maybe you can bring it along and use it. So.
Sometimes... You just got to buy the device and try it out. Like, I bought the Ovilus, and I've tried it out, and so far I haven't had anything significant to show for it. But when we were investigating the Lumber Baron Inn in Denver, Chris had that brand-new Ovilus. I think it's the Ovilus 5. And most of the time he said he turns it on and uses it just the normal, like, words come out, like universal, road, highway, that kind of stuff. But he said when he does spirit communication sessions with the spirit box, you'll hear that go off and say different words that are relevant to the conversation. So I've seen it actually work for the first time. And I tell you, we need one of those Frank's boxes. I'm telling you, man, the hacks that we have, the SB7s, 11s, these things don't compare to that sort of thing. These Frank's boxes, you have to find a spirit technician, reach out and ask for a spirit technician. And I heard it come through saying, go ahead. I heard it come right over there. Go ahead. And then we started asking questions. And then you'd hear the voices of the people responding back. And it wasn't like the, you know, it was more like, you know, there was a low kind of like little noise in the background, a little white noise, whatever. But you hear the voices so much better. And you hear sometimes just like full sentences come out. When we did the place in Louisville, I heard an English gentleman come out with full sentences, talking English. I'm like, oh, I've never seen my SB11 do that.
That's crazy.
You know? So.
That's why I want to get out there and start getting some investigations again and get that portal up and running.
You do that with Chris Boone. You'll see it firsthand when he does his spirit box thing. It's a little bit different type of device. Did you see the picture I posted, the very first one he had? It was like this big. And the Altoid can, a speaker mounted in it, and that's what he used to hear with. That was the one that was actually designed by Frank Sumption, the one that he was told to build by the spirits.
It'd actually be interesting to get the Frank box at the Riskin Battlefield.
Yeah, it'd be so actually great to get it anywhere, so I'd love to get one. I know Chris has got like 4 of them. And I'd be trying to like, hey, Chris, you know, like lend me one of those? I mean, I'd like to actually try that, you know what I mean? I don't know what it's got in there. It's pretty much older electronics, tubes and stuff like that. It's in a wood box. It's not all sophisticated plastic and modern tech. Maybe that's the key. You know what I mean? Maybe the older stuff is like vinyl versus CD.
Yeah.
Some people listen to records and they're like, it just sounds so much softer and warmer than you put on CD. It sounds so digitized and sharp. Maybe that's the difference. I don't know.
So can I pose a question and have you each answer how you feel?
Sure.
Honestly, has technology ruined paranormal investigating? And what I mean by that, back before Ghost Hunters came on TV, Paranormal State, Ghost Adventures, nobody really used that kind of equipment. EMF was always cameras, audio, psychics. Then this whole wide array of electronic doodad gizmo stuff came out. And now you're, like Rich is saying, you're seeing it fade. Is that how do you feel about that? Do you think that technology is ruined? And now we're back to that resurgence where teams are going to be psychic, camera, audio?
I think a lot of people are out there basically trying to reinvent the wheel when it comes to paranormal technology. You know, they take one thing and they try to make it their own, but it's the same thing. You know what I mean? So I think they're beating a dead horse with the technology. I think at one point we do have to revert back to the old style ways to get the better evidence.
Well, when I was growing up and I wanted to investigate, I used a recorder, and that was literally it. Sometimes I wouldn't even use the recorder. I would just go and try to hunt, I guess. I don't know, for lack of a better term. It wasn't until I started dating Kevin that I'd even heard of a spirit box. So I'm fascinated by the spirit box right now. Like, that's new technology to me. So in that aspect, the new technology is cool. But like she said, it's like reinventing the wheel. It doesn't seem like there's anything newer. It's just adding more stuff to one box so that there's less to carry or things like
that.
Yeah,
you both have very valid points. It's pretty much it. What do you think?
I'm a very old school.
I was going to say, you are old. We've had this conversation before. You are not that you're anti-technology.
No, I'll accept any kind of technology. I'll give it a shot, you know, more than once. Like the spirit box, the French box, that stuff like that, it intrigues me and I want to learn more about it. But for me, I like to go with what works. I mean, that's the voice recorder, the camera, dowsing rods, anything physical. Like, even if I have to take, like, baby powder, talcum powder, whatever, put it on the floor to see if we can find some footsteps, I'll do that.
We tried that a few times. Don't use flour, just so you know at home. Don't use flour. I think that was the original recommendation. They always used to say use flour, use baby powder. Flour can lead to ants and other nasty problems.
Termites, all kinds of stuff. Well, I'm going to split on this. Well, you know me, I've got my whole little toolbox I bring with me in investigations, but you see me start to downsize that away from the rolling toolbox to a smaller one. Because, I mean, if you're a paranormal investigator, I think at some point you have to experiment with things, even though you're not really confident they're going to work, but you have to experiment. And who knows that more than I did by buying the Ovilus. And I just think, going back to, sometimes I think, when did I get the best results of investigation? And that was when I had the simplest stuff with me. K2, spirit box with a speaker, audio recorder, flashlight, and I don't know, that's about it. You know what I mean? And that's really, everything else is just kind of flashing lights and gimmicks and stuff like that. And the technology, a lot of it's fringe, so you don't know if it really works or not, you know?
Sure.
I'm not a big, you know, some people bring these handheld thermometers and they point to objects and measure temperature. I still think that locally in the room that there's going to be different temperature spots regardless of paranormal or not. So I'm not a big fan of that, so I don't use one. But, I mean, I think so. I think sometimes we do these investigations and some of the evidence that gets brought to us from our guests that go there are the people using this most simplest things. There's a guy at the Rutgers, which had nothing more than a camera, and he took some pictures, and he had that picture that I showed you with the heads of the old guys through the door. I was like, damn, that's one of the best piece of evidence I've seen come out of here. I've been in here with EM pumps, and I mean, I all kinds of shit there, and I think the less you bring with you, sometimes you go in just as a person exploring, you know, versus all this gear and belts and utility belts and stuff on your shoulders and everything. And I think
less is more.
So yeah. You're saying technology is distracting.
I think that's a good point. To a certain degree, I think
you're concentrating more on results of your equipment than what's actually happening.
I think it's worth.
That's true. Yeah.
I think it's worth giving it a shot for one of our investigations. Is just tell each investigator pick one equipment, stick with that equipment all night,
and then we switch off. Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Switch off. Now, I think sometimes people are more prone to it, or sometimes I think it's just timing. You're in the right place at the right time. Yeah. You pick up something. But I think equipment can be distracting to a certain degree, but I just think that there's a point where, you know, this is America. We're capitalists, so we have to keep making things, you know?
You know what I mean?
Like, you showed me the Rook. I mean, it's the same kind of conventional device. It tweaked a little bit. Let's make it just slightly better. That's all we have to do is make it slightly better. Like the iPhone, let's make it 1 millimeter slimmer. Oh, breakthrough. You know, and so that's how we do things, and that's why all these people buy stuff. And but I've seen people over the years, a couple of years ago, we were doing events at Rutgers. I seen, you know, some of the older folks come to events. Come, oh, I bought this online and this online to show me all this gear. And then now it's like they come, they show up with like an odd recorder and a flashlight. You know, they're basically cutting back, because I think a lot of times this stuff in a room full of people with all this electronic gear going on, I don't know if sometimes it's productive, counterproductive. I don't know. So I'm kind of split. I'm scaling back. I actually start looking at things that are a little bit more all-in-one kind of stuff now, like the Ghost Arc that we talked about. That, if you look at that on paper and the picture of it, that's like the ultimate ghost hunting tool. Just stick it right in your pocket, pull it out, and you've got like four or five different things. You just need a flashlight, and that's it. I mean, that's great. I think it's great, but the design is there, the model's there, the marketing is there. They're making it in China, and they're blaming the Chinese manufacturer for all the problems with it. And the Chinese manufacturers are blaming them. They tell them, you need to beef this up, you need to change this. And they're like, no. That's, you know. So all these people were buying them and sending them back. And there's a couple good reviews. Some people bought them and said they're okay. But I don't want to risk another $300-$400 on that. And, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to here and it's stocked on the shelf, then I'll actually look at buying one. But again, it's got to be something that you want to buy and push all that other stuff away.
Yeah.
You know?
See, to me, I mean, the camera, I can use it for other things other than paranormal investigating. You know, I buy an Ovilus, what am I going to use that for, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I can't see.
You really
want to
know what I do with it when I go?
Tell me I'm great. Myself. Tell me Rich is great.
Ovilus, call me God. Yes. Like, all I can think is Raj and Big Bang. Siri? Well, am I sexy?
I can't see myself spending that kind of money for something I can't use for everything. That's the way I look at a lot of the stuff with
you're being practical.
Less is more, just as Nicole was saying. I mean, really, if you think back to anybody that shows you a picture or an EVP that they captured during any of the events, which person is that usually? It's usually the person that's keeping to themselves and just kind of following around in the group and taking pictures here and there. And you know, they're not really trying to stir anything up. They're just going around. So maybe that has something to do with it as well.
Oh, it could be. And some of the old paranormal guests, like I talked to John Zappas, they were equipment heavy. They'd come in with tape recorders and movie cameras. I mean, they used a lot of different stuff, but it was more conventional stuff. Because back in those days, there was no specific paranormal equipment like there is now. Now, basically, there's a market for everything, and I don't even know if half this stuff even works. The only thing I know is what I won't do is, like, a spirit box. I won't run my spirit box in my house. I just won't, because I have talked to people and say that energy can get attached to any piece of equipment. If it can get attached to a shoe or, like, a book, it can get attached to a spirit box. So I don't run it in my house. I just, to me, that's like playing with an Ouija board in your own house.
Right.
You know, you're talking to something, trying to communicate. You don't know what you're communicating when you're asking questions. The difference is a piece of cardboard and versus being asking questions in an electronic device. Like, you look at, what's that guy that does all this stuff online on YouTube? Christopher Huff.
Yes. Huff Paranormal.
Steve Huff. He's having problems with things. Did you see the thing where he had a demon around? You get playing around with too much of that stuff. I mean, he just, like, does it all the time.
he's trying to do it underwater now. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
Where he's trying to do EVPs underwater. I'm like, okay.
And it's not a bad idea. Yeah. I think they did that. I forgot what show did that.
You got to basically appreciate the fact that he's so dedicated to it, you know?
It's funny that you brought this up because I was going to bring this up and it stems into what you're saying. I had a friend message me yesterday. I haven't talked to him in about 6 months. And he's telling me his girlfriend is having problems at her house. And he goes, well, I think I'm just going to get her a recorder and have her just record things. I'm like, don't do that. And of course, he's like, why? And I'm like, don't investigate yourself. And he goes, but why? And I'm like, oh, God. I go, just call a local group. So now she's in South Carolina, so I'm looking up groups for him and stuff. And he just kept saying, he goes, but give me a reason. I'm like, you do not want to investigate your own, you know, you're trying to explain to them. You don't know what you're going to get on the other end of the spectrum there. So it's kind of hard.
Well, the other thing, and Pete and I have had discussions on this in the past, is you start doing a lot of the spirit box stuff, constantly communicating, and also they know that you can talk to them.
Yeah.
They're never going to shut up. And that's why basically he explains that to homeowners and stuff. But again, like I talked to Chris Moon. I go, Chris, what do you do with your spirit boxes? We're at the house. Keep them in a box. You don't ever break them and play around them? Nope. He goes, right now, when I'm in the house, sometimes I go home and they're still talking to me without the spirit box. I can hear them talking to me, trying to communicate with me and stuff like that. And that there was one that went back to his house from the Molly Brown mansion we went to. And they said they'd seen her walking up the stairs, the basement. The basement's where I slept. They told me this the last night. You know, I'm like, well, great. Thank God, if you told me that the first night, I've been, like, looking all night for this thing. But yeah, I mean, you get talking too much to these things, like, and you will have problems. Like, the Steve Huff guy, he's having some issues, you know? And that's why a lot of these investigators, like John Zaffis, these people, when the investigation's done or the evidence review's done, turn it off and put it away. That's it.
Let me ask a question. Now, we saw John last year in August at the shops. Did he bring any equipment with him when he came?
He brings very basic
equipment. Yeah, like just the K2 and something else.
And a recorder, right?
He's got a spirit box.
Oh, does he?
It's a Radio Shack hack, but...
Yeah.
I never paid attention to what he had, actually.
He's, like Kevin, mm-hmm. old school, keeps it simple, you know? Mm-hmm. And, this other stuff, he says, that's all crap. You know, it's just, you know, he just doesn't, basically, he knows when we do investigations with him, stuff happens. You know, he's like tuned to it. And I think it basically, it's like his realm. He walks in and if there's going on, they're like straight to him. So all he needs is a couple pieces of equipment.
He scared me a couple times on those times at the Hulbert house. I'll never forget that one upstairs after they delivered the kid. He picked up our spirit box. He said, what the hell is in this thing? Because he'd never heard something like that, like through a little shack hack. Like,
really?
What's going on with your shack hack? I don't know.
Yeah. So, again, you start playing with the spirit world, and then spirit world will start playing with you. So
you bring up a good point with Steve Huff. Like, we built the portal. He was the original to come up with the concept. We built one. I tried it at that one investigation we went to, and you all were upstairs investigating, and I was doing it alone, which you probably shouldn't do, but I formally opened the session, sort of like Chris. I'm like, is there any spirit guide who can help me? Is there a spirit technician that's available? I don't know, did I ever play them clips for you, Rich? But almost immediately you hear like this female voice like just come through, and she's like, yes! And I'm like,
That happened at Hulbert House too, right?
And there were responses coming through. And what scares me is, how can I turn on this little battery-operated box, and the next thing I know, I'm into a realm that I can talk with things I can't see? That's what scares me. And it's you have to take that into consideration. What you're seeing on TV and what you're doing for real are two different things. The real stuff you need to be worried about. Be very careful. Then when I was done that night, I formally closed the thing out. Only white light positive beings are allowed to talk, communicate. Nothing's allowed to follow me home. Nothing's allowed to be a part of my life, my family, this and that. When I shut you down, you're done for the duration of the... It's not to say something can't follow you, but at that point, it's like you're making it known you're not welcome anymore. That particular session is done. And then I put it in the box and I left it in your office. So... But I didn't bring it in the house. I still won't bring it in the house. It's outside in the garage. But
I will bring mine in the house. I just don't activate them or do anything with them. You know what I mean?
I don't even touch them.
Now, what about the other spectrum of technology, which is what we have to be up against, is, like, anybody can edit video now. With the Adobe software and, you know, iMovie has everything. And you can actually place things in a video that weren't there in the first place.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, Photoshop is a huge thing in our field now.
Or the app Ghost in Photo.
Yep.
See that? It's great.
Yeah, I you know, people try to catch me on that app thing with the ghost. I mean, even my own family would send me pictures of, like, you need to look at these pictures of ghost. I'm like, that's not a ghost. That's a freaking app photo.
Remember that one you emailed, and I emailed you back, and I took our picture, and I put it in the picture. I'm like, oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Thing.
Sensing Nicole needs to make us a meme.
I'll make one.
Or remember that video that Adam showed you? Said it was a little girl sitting there, and we looked out over and over again, and it came out to be a fire hydrant thing.
And you said it to John Zaffis, too. And, you know, looking at it, it plays tricks on your eyes. It does look like a little girl. But we went back when we did that WKTV, and we went around the corner, remember? And he was dead on set. That's a girl. And I had to tell him, and he had a hard time understanding that. But
she took a picture of it.
I did.
Oh, did you?
I did. I showed it to him. Yeah, and he was just kind of like almost disappointed in himself. But I mean, things like that happen. I mean, they look like what they're not, you know. And it's tough evaluating.
I know. I know. Sometimes when I get done, I do like spirit box investigation for long periods of time, and that's what I'm playing around with. I know, so I'll start seeing like things out the corner of my eye constantly, jarting left and right and stuff like that. Just right out of the corner of my eye, just black things go. Choo, choo. You can't even make out what it is. Just something just moving, you know.
I haven't seen that.
And then I've gone for
lately.
A couple days, you know. I just noticed that. So, yeah. So, you know. And then of course you get threats every once in a while. Like I got that threat when we did. Oh God, the Fulton Museum.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Kill Rich.
Yeah, Kill Rich came through. And then one girl started yelling at the spirit box. Kill Rich, you leave him alone, you big bully, he's a nice guy, you go to hell. And it's like, wow, so I'm not the only one. And I recorded that. I still have not played that back. I still won't listen to it.
I will tell you, Fulton County, that's the first time I ever tried the Maglite flashlight. Remember the flashlight? I've done it since, and guess what? It hasn't done it once since then. And I've done it about 5 times since then. And that went on for a good half an hour and just stopped.
We had that going on at Oberhaus for a while, but
that's
another thing that I'm not sure
how I feel
about it, because, I mean, electrical is very, very touchy. I mean, any little bit of change, you know, any kind of dust particle that happened to go right through the center that allows it to catch from one to the next and make a connection.
That was the thing. I was kind of wary about it. Because it sat there for a good half an hour beforehand, and it didn't do anything, and then it turned on. And then they were asking questions, and it was going on and off as they were asking questions.
Yeah.
So it was kind of strange, and I have it on video. I put it on the Dropbox, so it's there. But I just don't know what to think of it. But it hasn't done it since. So I'm like, oh.
Can I give you kids a little story about the flashlight? I said flashlight, right? Okay. I didn't know what... All right. Otisaga Inn in Cooperstown. That place made me a believer of a couple things, and then a skeptic beyond all belief of a couple other things. It was an event that was being put on by TABS. Oh, God, I don't know, about 5 years ago? And Amy and Britt and Adam were the three left behind doing that, and they had Stacy Jones there. So I was investigating a good portion of the night with Stacy. Up until that point, we had stopped using the spirit box because we had one of the original shack hacks, and it was driving us crazy to the point, I remember, I think either Mark threw it, somebody threw it up against the wall and just broke it. It's like, just shut this stupid thing up. But Stacy took hers out, and she started running the thing, and they were talking and talking, and she like, who am I pointing to? What flew in his mouth? And she was pointing to me. Did he say something? And... it came over the spirit box, bad. And she looked at me and she's like, did you hear that? I'm like, the hell did this thing know I had a bat in my mouth? And then it said my name. I'm like, oh, God. But then later on at night, there were other people doing the spirit box thing. And I heard, like, this guy say two complete sentences. Like, as clear as... It's like, I worked here in 1887. I died from flu. And I'm like, what the hell? Am I I'm like, that's technology we're revisiting. I'm like, I have no idea what the hell I'm listening to, but maybe we got a bad one or whatever. Nicole, the other Nicole, she got scratched there. And that was the first time the actual room started to smell foul and, like, poop. And then she, like, jumped up and she had the scratch on her arm in one of the rooms. Like, oh, this place ain't good. People are getting scratched. There's people talking through a radio. But then we went upstairs, and I probably shouldn't have said her name already, but she's a big fan of that flashlight thing, Amy, with the... And she was saying that a couple weeks earlier when they were investigating for the show, they had the different colored flashlights, and the thing would light things up on cue as they were asking. But me and Mark, the debunkers and investigators, so we're sitting in the room while this is all going on. All right, she'd ask a question, the light would come on, the light would go off. Couple more questions, nothing would happen. Ask a question, the light would come on. So then we started counting in between light flashes. One, two, three. And pretty much between 29 and 35 seconds, that light would come on. So we were assuming that that's the amount of time it took for that capacitor or charge or whatever it was to build up to trigger that quick light burst. And then when it used the energy, it dissipated out. We're thinking, well, if you wanted to be deceptive, if you knew how to plan your questioning in that spectrum of time, it'll always light up for you if it's a consistent thought. Me, I'm so fat-fingered and fumble, I can't even get the friggin' light. I mean, I either unscrew the entire cap all the way or it's too tight and nothing's gonna ever happen, but that's never worked for me. But if you can get it to work and you can actually get it to, like, touch the blue light, touch the red, or touch all three, or... Then I would probably believe something like that. But
I guess you would, yeah.
That's just me being...
You'd have to get more than one. I guess you would have to do the multiple lights and see what happens.
I mean, Dave could probably draw you up the storyboard and explain the science to you and give you mathematical equations like Sheldon on how the capacitor or whatever the hell's in there that's lighting up everything. But it just seemed odd because it's, you know, it's like you want to believe something's there communicating, but it's like it's awful... questionable. It's just like,
and it makes me question if they know that. It makes me question if they know the timings. You know what I mean?
Well, if you find something like that, the credibility is really up for questioning all the way around. Not just for a situation like that, but I mean,
I'm not questioning them, but I'm just saying that was an observation we're making, and we're like, well, right, that's a plausible argument. We have to put in the corner of it's not happening.
That's right.
The bat thing, yeah, we were in Cooperstown. Yeah. Maybe they intercepted something. They were talking about the Hall of Fame and all. The only word that came through was bat, and it just happened to be relevant to me. But the guy speaking two sentences, that was just the scratch. I don't know. But if you're able to actually perfectly unscrew that, where you can... Are you using a mag light?
Yeah, I have it. I actually have it with me. I always carry it with me in my knife. I know
Stacy was getting a little upset with me because she kept showing me. She showed me like 80 times, like, "Stop unscrewing the cap off!" I'm like, "I can't help it." You're saying a little. Look at this finger. A little's all the way.
So it's a Maglite Mini, just like this.
And they have you unscrew the back, right?
You just turn it just enough to where it's like.
Oh, see, no, they don't do that. When we were doing it, they unscrew the back.
Oh no, that's not what.
The light's on. So and you unscrew the back till barely goes off.
Oh, that's... See, if I unscrew the back, that is questionable. That's not how I did it,
Yeah, because that's showing that you'd have the connection all together.
That's what we were doing there.
This
so.
Is what I did.
Yeah, so yours is probably more plausible than...
Mine was like this. You turn it to where it can be turned on and off, but it actually has to be physically touched to do it. And it sat there on the glass, and it went on and off, but I didn't touch the back. So
that's why we couldn't figure out why unscrewing the back would trigger.
Because I'm trying to make sense.
Actually, that's one thing you could probably talk to Dr. Dave about, is maybe do like a rigging, kind of like a millimeter with a flashlight.
You could try that. I have a couple of these.
That's why I was saying I couldn't get it to work, because I'm trying to unscrew something that I can't just, like...
I never knew it was the back part they were doing. I always thought it was this, so that's why when I did it here, I went like that, turned it, and I sat it on the glass. It was right next to the jail cell. It sat there for a good half an hour, didn't do anything. Somebody asked a question. Now, it was right above the... where the that woman was hung. I forgot who it was. It was right below that. Sat there, and all of a sudden it just went on when somebody asked a question, so...
I like the Fulton County Museum. We're working on setting up something with them right now. I do not like that room upstairs with the dresses. I don't want to say something stupid like there's a portal there, but I can feel things coming in and out of that room when I'm usually there. Again, I'm not saying there's a portal there, but it just goes from peaceful and calm to you're like,
God, Pete,
there's a portal there! In the room.
Why would you say that?
But usually for me, it's only there. It's that all, the only room I have anything is in that room with the looms, and you got all them dresses in the other room. It's that one room, like, there's just something, to me, just draws me in there. Something connects with me, and it's just, spooks me out.
It's creepy.
And then the black shadow that's walking around in the Indian longhouse in the war room, but that's it.
Mm.
And then the thing in the basement. No, and then there's the, no, they're really... And Rich is working on setting up a huge extravaganza at our other favorite location.
That's right.
Rutger Mansions.
Yes, I've been quite busy. 8, 9, 10 hours a day working on this.
You should.
Damn
it, our fans deserve the best.
They always get the best. Yes, well, what can I tell you about it? The only thing I can explain this to you is if I tell you what happens in Conjuring 2. And then it'll smudge off.
No, I'm up for it.
No, so August 20th, which is a Saturday, according to my calendar, RIP will be at the Rutgers Mansion. We're setting up an event now. Details will come soon once we figure them out. We're trying to do something slightly different than we've done before, but it's a great place to investigate. It's so many people come out of there with some type of experience or a finding or some piece of evidence, and we've seen some pretty cool stuff. So the Landmark people are fabulous to work with. And there will be food there. I hope there's food there. They've always given us food in the past. So we'll get you some details up on Facebook. And
I'll bring a lasagna.
Twitter and all that kind of stuff. So
I'm definitely going. If Dave makes pretzels.
So somebody's got to make us a poster, too. We got to figure that out.
Yeah, Dave.
So.
Or Kevin.
What?
Kevin. We'll get you the pictures tomorrow.
Like I'm a graphic designer or something.
We need 11 by 17. Just email it to me.
But tomorrow. Tomorrow. No, but that's exciting. I'm glad that we can always help them. All money that we raise for them goes to them, and they really are in need of some help just keeping them massive mansions floating.
Ugh, that's got to be quite the expenditure.
They're big.
I mean, they need millions to restore them, but yeah. The few thousand we can help them with is at least keeps the lights on, sort of.
We have
and
a
same
couple,
with Fulton County.
We have a couple personal investigations within the group. I'm working on. However, they're both rentals, and we both need permission slips for them. So it's a little bit difficult. It might take a little bit of time, but it's in the works.
Have you seen the one on Facebook right now?
The one that you sent me yesterday?
No, there's a new one on here. Came in Monday.
Not the one that you emailed?
No.
No? Okay. Yeah. The email.
Would you like to?
No. I didn't see the one on Facebook, but I will look at it tonight.
Now that Kevin finally gave me his real name, I made him an admin. Sorry, Mike Pertillo, you had to go. We can only have so many admins. Who are we knocking out tonight, Alex?
God, nice.
And here we go, Maeve.
Oh, jeez.
So
Alex, Maeve is the one who knocked you off as an administrator.
I'm sorry. I've never met.
You know, it's probably not a good idea. She'll put all this eating healthy stuff on your wall.
Oh, you're so funny.
That's fine. I need just post to it because half the time I can't even remember to post to it.
I know I forget to post to it too.
Yeah, you say it's fine, but try eating it.
Shut up.
Well, you didn't say have to eat it.
We had delicious dinner tonight, okay? Lamb, tapenade, pasta, and cheese.
You lost me at delicious meal. Yes.
You know what me and Rich had? Pizza.
It was delicious and healthy.
Thanks, Nicole.
Anything else going on?
We got like about a minute-ish, I think. Less than that? Yeah, we got about a minute.
I am trying to connect my Facebook and my Twitter. I'm having the hardest time. I haven't figured the damn thing out.
Nope,
the social media stuff drives me freaking crazy.
We have the Lamplight tour every Friday.
Yes, it'd be nice if somebody actually buys a ticket so we can do one.
I know. We did the one. Well, I wasn't there for it, but you guys did the one.
It's a rough year. It's a black cloud.
That's a rough year this year.
I learned a long time ago in the antiques business, election years are horrible. People do not spend money in an election year. And probably even worse this year because of the uncertainty of bad or good or good or whatever's going to happen. But people clamp down. So
yeah.
Maybe Hollywood. Halloween will make up for it with tours if we can.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Push them then at that point. But still working on the Rome Historic Society one, and Knox Mansion is also on the hook, so some exciting stuff out that way. And we're out of time, so if you'd like to call, it's 1-888-429-5471. The people after us will probably enjoy your call. For Paranormal Investigator Radio, please go look at our Facebook page, please. Rome Investigators of the Paranormal. For crying out loud, somebody please put a like on there. We've been at like 3450 for like 17 weeks. Somebody just please like the freaking thing so it's not 3450 anymore, whatever it is. On that note, I'm Peter Leonard.
Show some love.
And I'm Nicole.
I'm Mae.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Rich.
And you're out of here. Oh, 3950.
Joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.